Welcome along to the Sunday Supplement, and our local historian and historical writer for the Herald, Chris Robinson, joins us in the studio. Hello, Chris.
Afternoon, Neil.
How are you today?
I'm good, and you're looking quite well yourself, I have to say.
Thank you, because I'm happy.
Well, there you go.
So you're here to talk about aeroplanes and the history of flight in Plymouth today.
Well, it's funny because we don't have a proper airport as such, and yet we've got an awful lot of connection with air flight from very earliest days, because Colonel Cody, a swaggering American, came over here and introduced the idea of man-powered kites, or kites that would take men in the air rather than just, you know, fly in the air. And the Navy looked at that quite seriously in Plymouth Sound. There were demonstrations of Colonel Cody's sort of manned kites, and they thought it'd be kind of useful to use them in the event of another war.
I mean, how long before the actual invention of the plane was this?
Well, 1904, so it's what, 4 or 5 years?
Okay, when, so it's before the Wright brothers.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And we were already doing it down in Plymouth, albeit with an American.
But as soon as the war came around in 1914, there'd already been quite a bit of development because of the Wright brothers, and because everything suddenly took off, quite literally, bad pun, I know, but it did. And we had a demonstration of flying from the world's first female pilot.
Really?
Actually, you know, and this week that we've been looking back at women's achievements, so Hilda Hewlett, who was 47 at the time, came down here with her pilot's license and did a display in a thing she called the Bluebird, a biplane, at Chelsea Meadow. So that must have awakened a lot of people locally. And then during before the First World War, the Navy felt that they needed an air battalion. So it was probably going to be quite a good idea to sort of embrace that. It became the Royal Flying Corps, then the Royal Naval Air Service, operating out of the Catwater, and that became RAF Mountbatten.
Well, that is where that area is still known as Mountbatten, although not anywhere to do with planes anymore.
No. Although if you go there, you'll see a large propeller.
There is a propeller, yes. Yeah. Just by the green.
Yeah, and there's streets named after aircraftsman Shaw, Lawrence of Arabia, who was stationed there for quite a number of years when he wanted to be vaguely anonymous. Anonymous, except when he was out on his motorbike with Nancy Astor and all that sort of thing. But quite a reputation that he had around here, because a lot of people knew who he was, and he'd get ferried across from Mountbatten to the Hoe and meet Nancy Astor, and they'd go off on his bike.
Of course, and Nancy Astor was the first female MP, and she lived in Plymouth.
First female MP to take a seat in Parliament, because Countess Markowitz, who was a Sinn Féin candidate, was elected, but refused to swear the oath of allegiance and was in Holloway Prison at the time anyway, so never entered Parliament.
A good historical point. Thank you for correcting me.
No.
So RNAS Mountbatten was seaplanes rather than a runway. So the seaplanes would actually take off
the
from
runway
the water.
Was Plymouth Sound, and the Catwater itself. So, yes, indeed, there was no runway. But meantime, the idea of flight and a proper airport was sort of brewing. And in the 20s, it sort of took on a new development. And they founded Roeburgh Airport around about 1930, I think it was, 31. Mm-hmm. And there was quite a bit of flight. Great Western Railways were interested in all forms of travel, so they introduced a service that flew post around the country quicker than the trains could do it as well. And there were a couple of operators that looked at it semi-seriously with flights to the Channel Islands and this, that and the other. But it wasn't until Brymon came along.
And they eventually got taken over by a sort of a British Airways arm in the end at Roeburgh to fly... all around the place from Roeburgh.
It was the first flight into City of London Airport, was from Plymouth. It was a Brymon flight. Chris Amon, it's funny, I don't think he got particularly involved, and he was described as being one of the unluckiest Formula One racing drivers ever. One of his colleagues,
so he thought he'd invest in an airline.
One of his colleagues said if he'd have invested in an Undertaker's, people would have stopped dying. He was that unlucky.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But Brymon, it seemed to be a long time when people lived through it. But actually, you know, it's just going to be a short footnote to Plymouth's history in some ways, unless they do something with the airport in a more adventurous way. And I can't believe that planes aren't going to get smaller takeoff points, and therefore you don't need a bigger runway. Planes are going to evolve in the next 50 to 100 years, and it'd be madness.
The campaign continues, doesn't it, in Plymouth?
Yeah.
And we're going to have to watch carefully with interest to see whether Plymouth's strong flying history will continue. Chris Robinson, thank you very much for joining us today.
Cheers, Neil.